Enterprise value equals market capitalization plus total debt.
Asset pricing model equals risk-free rate plus
cost of
beta
capital
times
equals
market.
Percentage of equity times cost of equity plus percentage of debt times cost of debt.
Not intimidated? Good. The sharpest minds succeed with London Business School's finance courses, ranked in the top five by the Financial Times. Find out which of our world-class finance courses are right for you by searching LBS Finance today.
No one likes experiencing hair fall, so why not try the award-winning range Genesis by Kérastase? Their serum provides up to 84% less hair fall due to breakage. It's lightweight and non-greasy, so doesn't weigh hair down. Ideal for post and pre-styling. Try Kérastase Fortifying Anti-Hair Fall Serum. Find it at kerastase.co.uk or in a Kérastase salon near you. 84% based on brushing test. Ban Nutri-Fortifiant and Mask Reconstituent and Serum Anti-Shoot Fortifiant versus classical shampoo.
Sanjeev's just received a decent bonus. Nice work, Sanjeev. He knows he could invest all of the money, but he's seen a new watch he likes. He's not worried. With his HSBC Premier bank account and access to their financial advice service, he can get a personalised plan for the future and know how much he can spend today. Everything's Premier when your bank account is. Search HSBC Premier. HSBC UK, opening up a world of opportunity. For financial advice, you need minimum £100,000. Other criteria and fees apply. Financial and other eligibility criteria apply for HSBC Premier.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. I'm jacked up for this one. As you can see on screen, it's Man Rocket, my honestly favorite player in the NHL. For those of you who listen, I've had a boner for this guy for about 5 years now. Tage Thompson of the Buffalo Sabres has agreed to join the show somehow. So, Tage, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Oh, thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
I have been drooling over you, Tage, for years. I myself am a tall drink of water. I know you're, what are you, 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah, 6'6".
And just like a masculine 6'6", not one of these effeminate 6'6", like Owen Power. You are just built correctly. You play the game awesome. So I'm super pumped you're here. I thought you should have been captain of the Sabres, but that's a whole other issue. They gave it to Darlene. Obviously, he's doing a great job, but
not a bad choice.
Well, you know, I go for height, and that's just where I'm at. So I obviously vote for the tallest guy going. Yeah. But listen, let's just get into it. This is your what, eighth, ninth year? Do you count the eighth season there? We only played a few games. What do you say going into ninth?
Going into eight, but I missed a whole year with a shoulder injury. So I really one season I only played legit one game.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, technically it's my eighth season, but yeah, for games, I mean, my first three season I was in and out of lineup anyway, so.
They still count though, but let's just call it your eighth year. You're coming in. You're not a rookie anymore, Tage. Like you're 27 years old, about to turn 28, I think, at the end of the month. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. 28. Yeah.
That's exciting, and you're one of the vets on the team. And we were gonna do this call last night, but you're like, oh, I got to deal with my kids. I got to play dad, and then I have a captain's meeting for Pete's sake.
Yeah, we're trying to get things right here.
What? So who is it? You and Rasmus? Is Tucker in there? Is Samuelson join? Is Zucker in there? Maybe or maybe not. Zucks.
You just nailed all of them, and then we got Greenway in there too. So it's meeting of the minds, trying to put things together.
What do we talk about? Arrange the rookie party, go through the dates. What are we going to do?
That was earlier in the year. This one was more about just the way we can interact with the guys in the room, stuff we need to be doing on the ice, consistency, the way we kind of manage our emotions on the bench, stuff like that.
Is that important now? Because guys are sensitive. And young guys need to be handled. And you guys have a young team. Are you aware of the responsibilities that you have? Because, listen, you're the face of the franchise now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what we were talking about is, like, you got to get to know your teammates, see what makes them tick. Because I grew up, you know, my old man played and coached, and he was a hard-o and played the game hard. And he would snap on me all the time if I wasn't, you know, playing well or if I wasn't, you know, given the effort that he thought I should have been given. so I'm kind of just wired that way. That's what drives me. Like, I feel like I play my best when, you know, I'm, you know, getting yelled at, or if, you know, if I'm not into the game, if someone yells at me, I play my best, or if they challenge me. But that's not the case for everybody. Some guys need a little pat on the ass. Some guys, you know, need a little tough love. It depends who you're dealing with. So I think for, you know, us as leaders, that's kind of what we were talking about, is seeing what drives guys and trying to find out what makes guys tick. So, yeah, the game's different, way different than when my old man played, way different than when you played. I think it was just kind of, you know, screaming and yelling all the time. Now I think it's a little bit trying to figure out what it takes to get the best out of each guy.
That's tough, being one of the captains, but you can't just go, because when I played, yeah, it was Johnny Taves. You do something wrong, he's screaming at you from across the ice, like, let's go, like, just literally screaming at you to do better. And same with the older guys, like Mikko Koivu. When I was in Buffalo, it was Steve Ott just ripping everybody a new one. So is it harder for you guys being leaders to go, okay, like, let's take care of this guy, like, let's not yell at him, or let's, like, push this guy? How do you gauge that?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult, because I feel like I get pretty hot quick. I mean, the game of hockey is so emotional. It's easy to get wrapped up in the game. And, you know, I think everybody that plays the game is ultra competitive, and you want to win and you want to be the best when you're on the ice. So, you know, it's pretty easy for me to snap and lose my cool. But I think something that we've been talking about is as a group, is how do you portray that? Like, what kind of energy, like, are you wasting when you do that, and how are you delivering it? How are your teammates perceiving it? So, you know, there's a little more, like, hurdles and hoops to jump through now. You know, just with, especially having a younger team and knowing different personnel on and what makes guys go. So, would I like to come back to the bench and just start screaming when I'm frustrated? Yeah. But does that really work, or does that get the best out of guys? It might work with some guys. I know me and Dolls have a pretty open relationship, and we can, you know, give it to each other. And I know that makes him better. He knows that makes me better. So now it's just kind of trying to go down the line of the bench and figure out each guy and how they work.
And it's weird, because nowadays with the cameras and everything you do is analyzed on the bench. And I look at a team like Toronto, where a fantastic team, and Matthews will lose his cool, or Marner last year loses his cool, and everything they say, people just jump all over him. So you kind of have to be aware of everybody's watching you and everything you do. And if you come off the bench and, like, they're reading your lips, Tage, it's crazy. So, are you, like, I do not envy you, my man.
No, I mean, I don't see, like, I'm the guy that likes that stuff. Like, that shows me that you have passion and that you care and you're into the game. I'd rather that, like, I'd rather, if I turn the puck over or I make a costly play, like, I'd rather have someone come down screaming and bitching at me. Like, that means that I know you care and you expect more from me. So, you know, that's the tough thing about today's game now, is it's different. It's managing emotions. It's there's a lot more than just going over the boards and just playing the game now. There's a lot behind the scenes that I think, you know, from that to video, the way you pre-scout, it's changed a lot. So, and I'm only going off of what, you know, my dad's told me. Obviously, I haven't been around that long. I've been 8 seasons or whatever, but the game's been so different from the time he started playing, coaching, and obviously to now when I'm playing.
Yeah, everybody always says that, oh, it's so different, it's so different. In its core, it's the same. I think now it's just people see it more, and there's more publicity. Yeah, players are a little more soft, but I think back then, players were soft, but they just didn't voice it. I think now people are just, it's easier to say, you know what, I don't like that. And it's more accepted. So I don't know. I think you're doing a good job. Let's focus on happier stuff here. This offseason, Mr. Golden Goal, like the overtime winner to win the world championships, the first time the U.S. won it, I think in 90 some years, the last time they won it was 33. How was that?
92 years.
Because listen, I'm a Sabres alum. I know it's been tough. How fun was that to kind of shed that a little bit, go play international and get a gold medal, man?
Yeah, that was honestly the best. That's why I went. I mean, I think, you know, like, when the season's over, it's like, it sucks, especially being done in May. You feel like you should still be playing hockey and playing for something. So perfect opportunity to go over there. I've done a couple before, but this one was different. The first two I went to were, you know, more of a, you know, we'll go play some hockey and party and see Europe and kind of just have a good time. I think when I got the call to go over to this one, you know, they had Keller that had already told him that he was in, Brady Shea. So like some guys that we knew we were serious about winning and we wanted to do something different this time. And, it was just a different vibe, but it was great, man. We had an awesome group, really close knit, good mix between some young skill guys and some older guys that have played for a few years. And, I think the hunger in our group was off the charts, which gets me excited, honestly, for this year, because it's kind of the similar feeling that we had in Worlds. Obviously, it's a lot shorter, you know, tournament than a full 82-game season, but kind of the same sense I get in this locker room right now.
Well, you played with Keller World Junior, not World Junior, the National Development Team, right?
Yeah, he was a year younger than me at the program, but he was obviously the best player for his team, so he always played up with our group. So I did play World Juniors with him. He was on our U18 World Championship team, so I've played with him for quite a bit. And then I also work out and skate in Arizona in the summer, and that's where he is too. So known him for quite a bit.
I obviously played with the Coyotes, not obviously for you, but I played with the Coyotes when I was still playing. How? It's weird when I saw, okay, Arizona guy, Austin Matthews, Arizona guy. How is that a thing where you're 27, Austin Matthews is 27, you guys are a month apart, and now arguably you're the two best goal scorers in the league, and you're from the desert. Is it weird to think about that? Because I think he's from California, but he grew up in Arizona. Like, it's such a strange thing that two were in the show.
It is weird. I mean, I never really played any of my youth hockey growing up in Arizona. I know he did.
Yeah.
But for me, my dad played at the time where he was coaching. So we'd only go back there in the summers, obviously, wherever he was, you know, under contract in the winter is where we'd be living. But that's kind of what we recognized as home base, like for our family is Arizona. We'd all go back there in the summers, and my mom's family's from there. So that's kind of, I identify myself from Arizona. I was born there, but I never grew up playing there. But it is weird. I mean, I think Austin's done so much for hockey over there in Arizona, and Matthew Nye's being from there too now, and you know, we got Donor on our team too here, so it's been great. That's one of the reasons I've stuck around in Arizona in the summers, is the skates there and the workouts are phenomenal. There's a lot of good guys down there, and I feel like, you know, the last 4 or 5 seasons is when I really started doing it and kind of taking my game to another level. So
how do you manage the heat? Because it gets to like 130. You can't even go out. So my buddy lives down there, and he has to chill his pool because his pool gets too hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's hot. I'm not going to lie, it's really hot, but I feel like you get used to it. It really doesn't bother me.
Of course it
you
doesn't.
You know, if you got the pool, which I feel like most everybody has down there, you're fine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the courses are like wide open, like no one's playing golf, so you can rip through 18 and, you know, 2.5 hours and go lay in the pool. So it's a good setup there. I love it. I think my wife's starting to grow more fond of it, which is nice. But yeah, I really like it there, and obviously it'll be ideal for when I am done playing. I'd love to set up shop there and enjoy the good months there, you know.
Yeah, the not the July, August. What's the what's the workout place there? Is it Exos or what's that called?
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, I worked out at Exos for first, I don't know, 2.5-3 summers there. Mostly like football and baseball guys there.
There were a lot of football guys there, yeah.
And then I think the Coyotes used to have a thing with them, and then once they moved to Utah, I just started working out at this place called IDP. It's right next to the Ice Den. But I'd always just use my program from, you know, the Sabres or back home or whatever. I've got a guy in Connecticut that I've been working out with for the last, I don't know, 10 summers, and he's done a great job for me, getting me stronger and putting on a lot of weight. So I always have him write me a program and just kind of use the gym.
What are you tipping the scales at?
This year I came in at like 232, 228,
holy
somewhere
shit
in there.
Tage.
So I'm a lot heavier this year. Yeah, I had a good summer. Got a lot stronger, so feeling good for the season.
Is that upper body, lower body?
I think a little bit of both, to be honest with you. I just feel like I'm just kind of thicker in general a little bit. I mean, I've always been strong. I've just had natural strength my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, can jump. I just God-given strength, I think, but I've always had a tough time keeping weight on. It was something for me I would lose very quickly. So I feel like this summer's been pretty good at, you know, keeping the weight on. I've changed my diet a little bit. So, yeah, just trying extra little things. Obviously, you got to look in the mirror and find ways to get better and help the team. So that's one area where I felt like maybe I could take another step.
And for you listeners, you don't realize that 235 pounds, that's a lot of weight to be lugging up and down the ice, especially because the game's getting smaller. It's getting faster. And it's not like you play like me. I played 6 minutes a game and I was gassed. You're playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. You're playing the hardest minutes on the ice. Man, I'm impressed. That's insane that you're 235 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I lost a lot of it during camp. I would probably say I'm sitting at 228 right now, which is a great weight for me. I'm comfortable. I feel like I can skate and move. Yeah, I feel pretty good at that weight.
I'm so jealous of you. I don't get jealous of many people, but I'm just like, come on, man. Like, I wish I would have an ounce of your talent or just ice awareness. Even playing men's league, I still get nervous getting the puck, and I know it's no contact and everybody's 50 plus. I'm just like, damn it. Like, it's just insane that you have that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I really do hate you. So anyways, let's talk. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I've always been like not small, but I was always a normal middle of the pack size guy on every team I was on.
Oh, no kidding.
But then I was also like very skinny. I didn't hit my growth spurt until I was like at the program 16 turning 17. I went in the program 6'1". 165 is what I was going into the program, and then after that season I was 6'4", 185.
And then 17.
going into UConn, I think I grew another inch and maybe a little bit and put on another 20 pounds. So like over the course of 2 years I gained like 40 pounds and grew another 5 inches. So
that's
like
crazy.
I've always been a smaller guy that had to rely on his skill and his like hockey sense. And then I just got the size that came later and kind of everything just came together.
See, even that, you just were gifted with that skill first and then you grow into your skill. I was tall, Bambi, couldn't skate, uncoordinated. Then I just didn't get the skill part. Gosh, Tage.
Well, that was a tough part is like when I did grow, I felt like I had to relearn how to play hockey for like the next 3 years. I was so uncoordinated, felt like my hands and stuff like, just felt awkward all the time, felt weak. But then once it like clicked for me, it just, everything kind of came together.
How do people defend you? Cause obviously guys have game plans versus you get inside your hands. You're a tall guy. And I don't want you to tell any secrets, but what's the best way to defend you?
I mean like now,
yeah.
I think just taking away my time and space. I think if I have time, I think that goes for any good player, but if you have time and space to get your head up and make a play, you know, I think it's pretty easy to make a play if you got space, but, I don't know. I feel like I've done a pretty good job now, like getting used to using my body. Whereas before early in my career, I'd try to expose the puck a lot and go one-on-one. Cause that's just what I did as a younger guy. Cause I was smaller, but I feel like I've gotten better at using my body and trying to ask people out and shield the puck and, not expose it as much. Obviously I still do. And I still have tendencies to go one-on-one, but I feel like consciously I've tried to make a better effort of that.
Yeah, people don't realize if you can just shield the puck, you don't have to dance through people. Like Marian Hossa was the best at that, where I would battle Haas and I couldn't see the puck at all because his stick was so long. I know he used a shorter stick, but it's so hard to defend a guy like that. But all right, moving on. Camp, 2025-26 Buffalo Sabres. How's it going in camp
Good.
So far?
Oh, it's been way different. This one's been tough. We hired a new, weight and strength staff. And obviously Lindy, this is his second year here and he's made an emphasis on this camp is going to be way tougher and we're going to make it as tough as possible. That way when, you know, the grind of the season starts, it'll seem easier. I like the way that everyone's been responding. It'd be easy for everyone to bitch and complain about how hard camp's been, but I think guys kind of just put their nose to the grindstone, accepted it. And I think, honestly, it's gotten everyone excited for the regular season. One, just because we know we're prepared. And two, obviously, the the grind of the camp can stop, right? So yeah. You've kind of, you earned your stripes more or less, that kind of sense. You know, I kind of think of it as a military sense where you go through boot camp, and I think it brings everybody tighter as a group because you kind of just went through something extremely tough as a group and came out the other side. So I've been really happy with camp. I know we've been a little banged up, but barring that, I think we're in a really good position to start the season.
Yeah. How important is that? Because, you know, this is what it is. We'll say seventh or eighth year, seventh in Buffalo. You've had four coaches now. How important is it to have the same message from last season to this season? Cause it's so hard coming into camp, new systems. Yeah. You got to get to know everybody. Is this a huge difference for you? Cause you've had Housley and Kruger and Granato and now it's Lindy.
Yeah. I mean, that's unfortunately the nature of the business is if you're not winning, there's overturn. And when that happens, I feel like it's so hard coming into camp next year. Cause you got to get to know the coach. Coaches got to get to know you. You got to learn new systems. And I feel like a lot of times that doesn't get resolved before camp ends. Usually that bleeds into the season and, you know, you're behind the eight ball a little bit. So I feel like this year there's no gray area. It's kind of, you can just start on day one. You know the systems already. You know what coach expects of you. He knows what, you know, your job is. There's no real gray areas, and you can kind of just get going from day one in camp, and that's kind of what we did. So I feel like we're in a good place.
And then getting Josh Norris, because he came over, obviously, in the Cousins deal. Then he gets hurt, not available the whole season. How important is it for you personally? Because he's going to be your centerman. He's the guy who's getting you the puck. How have you guys gelled so far in camp?
No, it's been great. I like playing with him a lot. We had a small sample size last season, played a few games with him, played well. But yeah, we've gotten, you know, to know each other even better over the course of the offseason a little bit, just chatting with him. And I think coming into camp too, we've just kind of naturally clicked right away. I've played with Benson before and love his game. He's a little rat, real tenacious on the puck, can see the ice really well. So, you know, we've played together most of the preseason, and I feel like we've done really well and kind of gained a little bit of traction, a little bit of confidence. So it'll be good to just carry that right into the regular season. But I think extremely high upside on him. We just need him staying healthy, and I think it'll be a big year for him for sure.
So what's the forecheck like? Because Benson just goes in and causes havoc, and you just come in the third guy high waiting for the shot?
Oh, yeah. Me and Nori just make sure the puck's going deep. Benny's in there just in someone's back pocket, and I'm just trying to find a soft spot.
Norrie, that's a nice place to be. Beach.
Yeah, it's great.
Just stay away from the scrums. What about these young guys? Obviously, you get Josh Doan as far as part of the Paterka deal. Kesselring, I know he's been hurt. How are they kind of assimilating with the team? Because they're huge parts of this team now.
Oh, they're great. I mean, I know both of those guys pretty well. Both guys that work out and skate in Arizona in the offseason. So I've known them for the last 3 to 4 years. And then we all played at Worlds together too. So there's already that familiarity amongst us three. So I know talking with them in the offseason when it happened, they were extremely excited. Two guys that want to be here, that want to be difference makers. I'd say they fit the Buffalo mold to a T. Blue collar, hardworking guys, selfless, put the team above themselves. And I think they've made an immediate impact in the locker room too. Great guys to be around. So I'm excited for what those guys can do. I think, you know, Josh, I've skated with him quite a bit. I think he's got some really underrated skill that probably gets overlooked because of how good defensively he is. But, you know, he's rock solid on the D side of the puck. He's hard to play against, which we need. And I think Kesterling's kind of similar in that he's got that offensive upside. But seeing him at Worlds accept a different role than he's been used to and playing it very well is kind of the same situation. I feel like he's stepping into here where he's going to be kind of that rock solid, hard to play against defenseman that can still play with a top four D pairing, make plays and join the rush. So I'm excited to see what both of them can do. I'm big fans of both of them and honestly the best guys in the locker room too. So it's a great addition for us.
Okay. You mentioned they want to be here. Great guys in the locker room. Let's talk about the trade. Cause obviously JJ, unbelievable season last year.
Yeah.
Young guy, super talented. Tried to get him to re-sign, didn't want to re-sign, wanted to trade. What are you thinking? Because you're like, this is, you know, the future guy I'm going to ride with for the next 8 years. How are you processing all this when it's going down?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it honestly came a little bit out of nowhere. I don't know if I was expecting it, but at the same time, it didn't surprise me, if that makes sense. But I've got nothing against JJ. I think he's a great kid. Young guy, has very big aspirations. He wants to be the guy and wants to put up a lot of points and score and be a big piece of the team's success. It was just one of those situations. I don't know how much he really enjoyed being here, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think it's a good hockey trade. I think he's going to be a good piece for Utah and that skilled forward group. He's going to play probably a little more run-and-gun style hockey there, which fits him. And I think in return, we got two guys that are going to help, you know, play a little more blue-collar style, hard-to-play-against style game, and help us win games that way. So I think both teams are going to benefit from this. It's not like he was hated in our locker room. I thought a lot of guys like JJ. I had nothing wrong with him. So just one of those things where something's got to change for us to win. And that was, I guess, one of them.
Another, not an easy question, but the narrative, even when I was in Buffalo, is the Stars, for whatever reason, don't want to be there. Re-signing you is huge. But then when you look at, like, going back to Reinhardt and Eichel and Cousins and JJ and Risto, when I was there, like Casey Mittelstead and Montour and even Savoy, they dealt away. How do you change that, Tage? Like, how? Because there's the running joke, like, oh, you leave Buffalo, you go to win a Stanley Cup. Yeah. Like, right? And I hate that too, because I'm a Sabres guy. How do you change that crap?
Well, I think it's just got to start from inside. Like, it's got to be the big guys here that are here now. And I've had some talks with Dolls and.
Enterprise value equals market capitalization plus total debt.
Asset pricing model equals risk-free rate plus
cost of
beta
capital
times
equals
market.
Percentage of equity times cost of equity plus percentage of debt times cost of debt.
Not intimidated? Good. The sharpest minds succeed with London Business School's finance courses, ranked in the top 5 by the Financial Times. Find out which of our world-class finance courses are right for you by searching LBS Finance today.
Autumn, when the colors change and the breeze is fresher. A time to take stock and start some new autumn rituals, like cozying up with your fave podcasts. Whilst you immerse yourself, complement your me time with Costa Coffee's Maple Hazel range. Enjoy a silky latte, a refreshing iced latte, or luxurious hot chocolate. It's the taste of autumn in a cup. Head to your nearest Costa Coffee store or Costa Express machine to pick up a Maple Hazel drink while stocks last.
You know, like you just named all these guys, right? They've been here, they've left, they've had success. Me and Dolls want to be the guys that have come in and done it here. Like, it hasn't been done here for so long. And I think that in itself is... you know, seems like such a big challenge, and, you know, this great white Buffalo, right? So it's like, why can't we be the guys to turn it around? And I think that gets us excited. And I think the guys that we have in the room believe in that, but I think it also has to stem from us, and the belief has to come from us first. And I think that trickles down throughout the locker room. So, I'm excited for the year here to try to, I think we can do something special. Like I've said before, every team starts with 0 points. And we got a clean slate, so there's no reason that we can't be a top team. And I truly believe it. I know Dolls does too. And I think if we let our actions, you know, follow that belief, I think the rest of the guys will believe it as well.
Yeah, I think the pieces are there. Like, you guys have an incredible defense. Your offense is there. It's just the consistency has been the one thing where it's like, you go on these stretches of just like 9 losses.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the consistency thing is something we've talked a lot about here, and it's trying to remember and remind ourselves that 82 games is a long time.
Yeah.
And we can't let 1 or 2 losses spiral into 9 to 13. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, you know, with a young team comes an immature mindset, and you let outside noise bleed into the locker room sometimes too much. And I hate using that excuse. We should be able to block out that noise. But, you know, when you're on a 2-3 game skid, and you start hearing things, mm-hmm. and you're a little immature as a group, and you get in a situation where you're up by a goal in the third period and the other team starts to press, how do you react to that? And I think that kind of goes back to that conversation we had as a leadership group, is our emotions on the bench. How does that affect the rest of the group? Is there panic in our voice? Are we calm? Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of just for us as leaders looking in the mirror, trying to make sure those situations don't repeat themselves.
And the beautiful thing about that is it's such a short memory term. You get a couple wins under your belt and the boy's like, okay, we got this. So when you do lose a couple, you fall back on the success that you have. That's why the international win is good for you guys. If you know, Doner and Kesselring and you
can, for sure.
So I think you guys will be good. All right. A couple more, then I'll let you go because I know you got big game tomorrow. I don't want to keep you too much. The Stefan Nosen hit. I had Connor Clifton on last year at some point, and he was like, yeah, I was embarrassed by how we reacted. I don't think he played, but he's like, we talked about it. Was it a non-issue for you, or what was your thoughts on the whole issue?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it was like, so when it happened, obviously I get tagged pretty good, mm-hmm. not really aware of what's going on. I kind of get helped off the ice right away. Yeah. Didn't finish the game. And then I was sitting at home kind of rewatching it, and then I saw what happened, or what didn't happen, I should say.
Yeah.
And at first it kind of bothered me, but as soon as I finished watching it, I had like four or five guys from my team reach out to me and say, hey, like, that was on me. I'm disgusted by that. Like, that should never happen again. Like, totally my fault. And like, that meant a lot to me. Like, yeah. I feel like the culture that we do have here is phenomenal. Like, best team I've been on, great group of guys that I would go to war with any day of the week. And obviously, like, the media, like you said earlier in the conversation, right, like, everything just has a spotlight on it now.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like that was a situation that got magnified because of it. But I felt like it was handled in-house pretty well amongst the group. I think everyone knew what happened should never happen again, and took responsibility and ownership for it. And that's really all you can ask for. And it hasn't changed any relationship that I have with any of the guys. I still respect and love all these guys, and, you know, would do anything for them. So I think it was a non-issue from my standpoint, but when I first watched it, I was a little, you know, disturbed by it. But obviously the quick responses and the text meant a lot to me. So
yeah, in the moment, it's tough because you're out there with the skill guys and they don't know how to react to a situation like that. And like, well,
yeah, it's easy. It's easy to say from the, like, after the fact, right? Like, the game happens so fast too. You don't honestly know what you would do in that situation. So it's easy for a fan or someone on the outside to, you know, point fingers and say, oh, I'd have done this. But you don't really know until you're in that situation. Would I have liked someone to do something? Obviously. But it is what it is. It's over with now. Can't focus on it anymore. We just move forward and keep making strides to get better as a group. And I think that's what we did as soon as it ended. So,
And that's what Connor said when I talked to him. So I just wanted to get your take on it, because you're the guy getting plastered in the middle of the ice. Like, it was a brutal hit and you haven't played him yet. So I'm interested to see what happens when we face him again. Well, but let's touch on that.
I haven't forgot.
Oh, baby. Okay. We don't want to get you in trouble. Premeditation, all that stuff. I've been there. You saw in the preseason Tampa, Florida, just goon fest. Yeah. Then you got Ottawa, Montreal. All these teams are in your division. Then obviously you have Boston, who plays a physical game. Toronto doesn't shy away from it. Have you guys talked about that? Because you don't exactly have the meatiest team there in Buffalo. How do you address the physical nature? Because you're the biggest guy with Owen, and you guys are the skill guys.
Yeah, no, we've talked about it. That's something I mentioned going into this offseason that I thought we needed more of, was obviously team toughness, but someone that has a little bit of a presence and that can kind of police the game and calm things down when things
do. You not have my phone number, or what's going on here?
Yeah, lace them back up. No, but we did go sign Mason Gertsen.
Yeah, I saw that.
I played with him in San Antonio, and I think he's as tough as they come. He's a big boy and great guy in the locker room. Honestly, one of the nicest guys I've ever met. But I think adding him is a big piece. I mean, even if he doesn't play all the games this year, but just the games where you're, you know it's going to get a little out of hand, I think it kind of just calms the guys on the bench a little bit, where, you know, if the other team starts running around, you're not like, what do I do out here, right? So I think there's still a need for it in the game. Obviously, my dad made a living doing it. My family believes that that's something still prevalent in the game. And obviously I would like to think that I know how to handle myself in a situation like that. I'm not the best at it, but, you know, if things ever did happen, I feel like I'd, I'd be able to hold my own and at least show up, right? That's all you can ask for. So.
You would be an absolute monster. Are you kidding me? Let's be honest here. You'd be a killer, but we don't need you fighting.
Maybe we get you to come down to the old KeyBank Center, eh? Run their team through a little workshop.
It would work for you and Owen. Just keep your arms straight and throw as hard as you can, but everybody else would be screwed. They just get fed their lunch, but get me in there, man. I would love that. Yeah. So you got the physical year, you got a couple kind of random things I want to talk about. What are your thoughts on Kirill's contract?
Oh, good for him. I mean,
$17 million.
That's crazy. I mean, I think it's good for the league, to be honest with you. I think, you know, the league's obviously growing, making strides in the right direction, still a long ways from, you know, obviously the MLB, NBA, NFL, you know, the awareness, the contracts, the TV deals, all that sort of thing. Obviously the NHL wants to get there. The players want it to get there. I think it's a great thing for the league that he signed a deal like that. And, you know, I think with the cap going up, it's just going to keep guys, you know, asking for more money. And, with that comes, you know, obviously a bigger responsibility, but, I think he's an unbelievable player and probably deserves every penny he got. So,
well, I don't know about that. That's the $17 million, a lot of money. And then when you look, it's like, I looked at your guys' stats, you got more goals than he does. And you're a little bit taller. Are you going to hold out at any point in this contract and demand more money? That's what I'm asking you.
I have five more years. You know what?
I got five more years.
It's one of those things though. Like at the end of the day, I mean, like what is 49 million, 7x7. That's life altering money.
Oh yeah.
Right. And I mean,
this is an ad by BetterHelp.
Did I talk too much?
I should have handled that better.
Why can't I just let it go?
Why did I do that?
I wish I would stop overthinking so much.
Why did I do that?
Take a breath. You're not alone. Let's talk about what's going on.
Counseling helps you sort through the noise with qualified professionals. And online therapy makes it convenient. See if it's for you. Visit betterhelp.com/randompodcast for 10% off your first month of online therapy.
Enterprise value equals market capitalization plus total debt.
Asset pricing model equals risk-free rate plus beta times.
Equals percentage of equity times cost of equity plus percentage of debt times cost of debt.
Not intimidated? Good. The sharpest minds succeed with London Business School's finance courses, ranked in the top 5 by the Financial Times. Find out which of our world-class finance courses are right for you by searching LBS Finance today.
17 by whatever he got, insane money, right? I think what McDavid did was just more insane.
Right.
Signing for that, like, that just shows, like, what he wants to do. His priority is winning. You know, team-friendly deal like that, like, almost playing for free for him. And, like, that just sends the message to the rest of the team that, like, I'm here to win. And, you know, hopefully that's kind of a similar thing, obviously, with our group is we have, I feel like, a lot of contracts that are very team-friendly that hopefully we can, you know, be successful on that basis too.
So you're one of the upper echelon guys. Do you see this being a thing now where guys, you know, I'll go here, I'll take a little bit less and not making super teams, but
yeah, I think it, with the cap going up, I think it'll probably be more prevalent. I would imagine. I mean, it just depends what is driving guys. Is it money or is it trying to win? And I think that's where you're going to kind of get to see more of who's in it for what, like
someone's true colors.
It's obviously situational too, right? Like someone at the end of their, or on the, you know, end of their career, if they haven't won anything, might just be trying to take a discount and win. Or if, you know, you've kind of done it before and had some success and this is your last chance at it, you might be trying to collect the bag. So I think it's just probably gives a bigger option, more variability probably.
Yeah, because Connor just signed yesterday for, I think, 12 over 8.
12 in Winnipeg. Yeah,
12. That ain't a bad deal.
No, I think it's a good deal. I think that's probably what he deserves.
And then even in Edmonton, they get McDavid locked up and they sign Ekholm, and Wallman, I think, got a big deal too. I don't know about that. But it's, yeah, I think it's good to see players prioritizing winning a little bit. Well, we'll see how it works out in Buffalo.
I agree. Hopefully it does.
I'm a Bills guy. I'm a Buffalo guy. I went to the auditorium when I was a kid. I used to go watch, you know, Hasek and all these guys. What's it like living there? You've been there 7 years now. It's a sports crazy town. The Bills are on fire. You ever go to a Bandits game? Like, talk about just lifestyle in Buffalo, because I think people, they say, oh, Buffalo sucks. Buffalo's a great town.
Yeah, I like it here, like, a lot. My family, actually, we just built a house out in Clarence. I was living downtown for the first 4 or 5 years, and obviously extremely convenient for me, selfishly, being right next to the rink. But I've really enjoyed moving out to Clarence. I think it's just a blue-collar town. It's kind of like, it's what I grew up with my family, just good people, slow pace of lifestyle, like, there's nothing fancy about it, which is what I love. You know, you can go places and no one bothers you. You just have a very simple way of life. It's a good place to raise a family. And, you know, I have 3 kids now, so it's a comfortable environment to grow up in. And I think people here just care. They just genuinely care. You see that with the Bills. You see it with us. I mean, we haven't won in 14 years and they still show up to our games. And that just makes me want to win for them even more. So I really enjoy it. I do think it gets a bad rap. But I just also think there's not enough knowledge about it, right? It's a pretty small town. And the market itself isn't that big because we haven't won in so long. But, you know, from the people that I do talk to about Buffalo when they were in their heyday, you know, say it's a hockey town through and through. And, I mean, I've witnessed how big the Bills craze is here. And to imagine that, you know, on the Sabre side of things just gets me fired up.
Did you ever talk to Patty Kane about coming back?
No, I should though. But seems like it would have been a no brainer, right?
It would be just a perfect fit. I don't know why the hell he went to Detroit.
Yeah. What's he thinking, man?
Well, there's still time. He's still kicking around. Last one. Do you know Josh Allen? Do you hang out with him?
I wouldn't say I know him. I've met him a few times. You know, they're obviously down in Orchard Park where, on the North Town. So we don't really cross paths too much. We've been to a few of their games. We try to catch at least a few every season. And I feel like they've come to a few of ours as well. So I think there's just kind of that mutual respect. But I wouldn't say, we're not boys by any means. I would love to be boys with them. But,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool going to their games. I really enjoy them. I've never been a football fan until I moved to Buffalo. So kind of got me hooked now.
Oh, that's insane. But listen, I know you got to go. Big game tomorrow. I appreciate you coming on, bud. Hopefully we can do it again sometime. But good luck with everything. Have a good season. And cheers. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Tage Thompson, everybody.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Wow. All right, man. You're the best. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, man.
Enterprise value equals market capitalization plus total debt.
Asset pricing model equals risk-free rate plus
cost of
beta
capital
times
equals market. Percentage of equity times cost of equity plus percentage of debt times cost of debt.
Not intimidated? Good. The sharpest minds succeed with London Business School's finance courses, ranked in the top 5 by the Financial Times. Find out which of our world-class finance courses are right for you by searching LBS Finance today.
Abby's just woken up. It's 7:31 and she's forgotten to ring the doctor. There's no point ringing now. She needs to get to work. But she's not worried. She's got an HSBC Premier Bank account with access to digital GP appointments, plus 2 second opinions a year, should she need them. Everything's Premier when your bank account is. Search HSBC Premier. HSBC UK, opening up a world of opportunity.
The doctor will see you now.
Apply with £100,000 annual income or £100,000 savings or investments with HSBC UK or Premier status abroad.
Autumn, when the colours change and the breeze is fresher. A time to take stock and start some new autumn rituals, like cozying up with your fave podcasts. Whilst you immerse yourself, complement your me time with Costa Coffee's Maple Hazel range. Enjoy a silky latte, a refreshing iced latte, or luxurious hot chocolate. It's the taste of autumn in a cup. Head to your nearest Costa coffee store or Costa Express machine to pick up a maple hazel drink while stocks last.